last week I talked to you about pruning, and you know, don't get all messed up by the one or the shears, the pruning shears. Don't look at the pruning shears, but look who's holding the pruning shears. And we went to John 15, verses 1 and 2. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Who's holding the shears, the pruning shears? Who's holding them? God. Now, the one who's doing the shearing might be a boss, might be a brother in the Lord, might be a sister, might be a spouse. But don't snip at the snippers. Don't snip at the snippers. We get all caught up at the snippers when we should be all caught up with the one who's holding the snippers. Because it goes on and it says, and here's the paradox. You're bearing fruit. You're pressing into God. You're becoming a saint like you've never been before. I mean, you're becoming holy and righteous. And he says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. But what happens? When you're bearing fruit, he snips it. So you can bear what? More fruit. All right. Hallelujah. We've all been through purging, and it's a sign that you're moving forward, that you're bearing fruit. So you should be snipped regularly. It shouldn't be just once every decade or so, you know? I can remember the snipping of 1942. All right. No. Paul said, I'm snipped daily. All right. You know, when you're pressing in, there'll be things that'll press on you. And the thing is, don't get depressed or oppressed by the snipping process. It's actually a commendation, not a condemnation. All right. This was a difficult thing for me when we were watching people leave in great numbers several years ago. And then they would go out and they would, you know, say not nice things about us. And the temptation was to say not nice things about them. But the test was to just be quiet. Not to rail. Not to dish your brother or sister who left. Though they might dish you, you don't diss them back. That's the test. And I looked to the one who's holding the pruning shears and said, what do you want me to do? He says, be quiet. Don't ever tear down another church. Don't ever tear down another brother or sister, because we are parts of one another. To do that is to put your hand in a car door. To do that is to run in front of a bus. Thank you. You prophesied beautifully today. Hallelujah. I mean, that's you've got a picture there. Hallelujah. But is it easy? No. Well, when you're pruned, it's a sign that God loves you. Hebrews 12, chapter 6. For whom the Lord loves, he snips. And he chastens every one of us whom he receives. Now, verse 7, if you endure, that's the thing here. If you endure the chastening, it's going to produce something. God deals with you as sons. For whom? For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? Now, let's go down to verse 10. He's talking about earthly fathers chastening you. And he says, for they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. When you are snipped, you say, thank you, Lord, for snipping me. I will not snip back at you, nor will I snip at the snippers. I thank you for the snipper. Come on. He's doing this, what? For our profit, so that we can bear the fruit, the peaceable fruit, the peaceable fruit of righteousness, verse 11. And we can become partakers of his holiness. All right, I've shared with you that God is holy. We just sang about it. The angels in heaven say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." They don't say, "Good, good, good, Lord God Almighty." They don't say, you know, "Sovereign, sovereign, sovereign." They say, "Holy, holy, holy." And then the Lord goes around and he says, "Be ye holy even as I am holy." Well, I can't do that. Oh, I'll see to that. I'll see to that, says the Lord. And you're going to bear the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And, you know, and then he says in verse 13. Oh, let's go back. This is cool. It talks about attitude. 12 and 12. "Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." All right. Stop having a pity party. Get over it. If you stay in the Molly Grubs, you will stay in the Molly Grubs. You can either go through this wilderness in 11 days or stay 40 years and perish. You know, be cut off. Learn the lesson. You know, Jesus was in the wilderness how many? 40 days. He's only on the cross for a few hours. In fact, the centurions were amazed. You know, how did he go so fast? Well, when he finished what he'd done, and when the Father had finished what he wanted done, it's over. So don't prolong your stay in the wilderness. He says, "Make straight paths for your feet," verse 13, "lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather be healed." All right? That's what we're all about. And that's what the Lord's all about. So we talked about pruning and how it relates to you and how it changes you. Okay. And it goes on to say, "Follow peace with all men." And it's hard to do, but follow peace and holiness. And the two come together, with which no man shall see the Lord. All right. Now, verse 15 is very important. "Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God." What happens if we fail the pruning process? "Lest any root," here's another growth, here's another fruit that's coming out, "a root of bitterness springs up inside of you, and what? Many be defiled." What I want to share with you today is the pruning process is not just about you, but it's about those that are around you. Your life literally will influence hundreds, maybe even thousands of people. For those of you who are on Facebook, you know what I mean. All right? You know, I mean, your life has touched hundreds of people. And it's easy to get hundreds of people onto your Facebook. And they say, "I want to be your friend." And you forget about all the times that you snipped at each other. Because, you know, a healthy mind forgets. And you only look at the good after you're looking down 30 years or so. And, you know, the Lord only looks at the good in us. And isn't it wonderful that, you know, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, he doesn't record all the failures, but only the successes. And that's how he is with us. So he doesn't want us to focus on the shortcomings of others, nor become defiled by it, whereby many others become defiled. And it talks on about a young man by the name of Esau, who desired the things of the world more than his inheritance and his birthright. And it says in verse 17, "For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited a blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Paul said that, you know, he fought the fight, and in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, "But I keep my body under. I keep my emotions. I keep my physical body and my reactions under and bring it under subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself do not become a castaway." So there is this, and we see this, that there's this point where if you continue to resist the pruning process, there'll be a point where you're put aside. Sounds harsh, but in 2 Timothy 2:20, it says, "In a great house, There are not only vessels of gold and silver. How many vessels of gold and silver do we have here? Everybody raise your hands. All right. But also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man, therefore, purge himself. You see, there is an agreement that needs to go on with this process. If a man purge himself through the power of God from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. How many of you want to be a slop bucket? Praise God. Well, when you're redeemed, you're a vessel of honor, and he just polishes you up all the more. And there's a process that we go through in this. The first deals with our attitude. 1 Peter 5 and 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now, years ago, my wife and I were in Arizona, and we sat under a Greek scholar who was just fascinating in how he opened up the Word of God and just got into the inside of the Greek. And I remember I took notes on what he said on this particular verse. And he said this. He says, with regards to 1 Peter 5 and 10, he said, you will suffer as long as you're not adjusted. The more you resist, the greater the pressure. So it's all about your attitude. I remember Bob Mumford shared a story about the time when he was down in Peru. Okay, Colombia? No, Peru. But close, next door neighbor, sort of. And a potter was making a particular vessel. And he brought it out of the fire and he pinged it and it had a dull sound. So he put it back into the fire and cooked it up some more. And brought it out again and pinged it again, still kind of a dull, flat sound. Put it back into the fire again. And after several times, he pulled it out, and he pinged it this time and just sang, ding. And that's how it is with us. Until we sing the praises of him who prunes us. Instead of walking around like we've been baptized in prune juice, all right, we'll catch this. We'll catch this. So it's your attitude. Your attitude will determine your altitude, whether you're in the mully groves down where the turkeys are or soaring like an eagle. All right. The next thing is your fortitude. Attitude, fortitude. Pretty good, huh? Thank you, Jesus. I appreciate these little things he drops into my heart. Hebrews 5 and 8. Though he was a son, yet he, speaking of Jesus, learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, or in his case, complete, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Okay. We're going to see that Jesus didn't need any further purification. He was the holy Son of God, wasn't he? But there was something in the process of his obedience where he identified with our condition so that he could become the complete captain of our salvation. You can never go to Jesus and say, you don't understand the depths of my sorrow. You don't know what trouble I've seen. Come on, we can't do that, can we? Lord, he is moved with compassion for our infirmities and our weaknesses. He was there and went even deeper. But it's for the purposes of identification. So we're dealing with one who is not only Lord, but is also Christ, the Anointed One, so that he can heal us. Okay, some examples. All right, let's just say you've got it down to God dealing with you. Let's just say you've gotten the revelation that God is on your case. Let's take a look at a young man by the name of Cain. Remember Cain? You know how long he hated his brother? As long as he was able. All right. Genesis 4 and 7. God speaks to him. And How do you know you're being pruned? Ooh, the fruit of anger. Just comes right out. It just, boop, okay. And Cain was angry. So the Lord says, why are you angry? As if he didn't know. The Lord is speaking to him. He says, why are you angry? And he says, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. It's like a lion that's crouched, and there's a door right there. And go ahead, open it up. Or go ahead and run in front of the bus. Go for it. I mean, you know, put your hand in the car door. Roll up the window. Do something. He's warning him. He says, it's going to desire you, but you shall rule over him. All right? So the Lord's, you know, speaking to Cain. So, you know, you might have a situation where you recognize God is dealing with you very specifically. And may I say, when God deals with you, it is very, very specific. No question about it. We know exactly what it is. The devil comes in, tells you everything you did wrong before you were even born. But the Lord, oh, painfully, painfully. Years ago, before I was sanctified, more fully than I am now, the Lord had me hire this carpenter who couldn't carp. All right? You understand this. Whenever he'd hang a door, it would move by itself. You know, you open it and just keep going. You know what I mean? Nothing was level. Put the insulation inside out. I mean, everything he did was sort of backwards. And I paid a minimum wage at the time, and I had him work for about 10 months or so on a house I was building for myself and redoing after his work. And but he was a brother who was out of work, and so the Lord had me hire him. Afterwards, you know, came time to let him go. The Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. He said, I want to talk to you. He says, first of all, and believe me, there was some friction between us, not God and I, but it was between this carpenter and I. And we were kind of leaving on not too friendly terms. He was mad at me and everything else. So the Lord spoke to me in the middle of the night. He says, that guy is my favorite carpenter. He's my favorite. And I don't want you withholding wages from this guy. So I want you to pay him double what you were paying, and I want you to add interest to it for the past 10 months or weeks or whatever it was. And so, you know, I had the back and forth with God. I said, Lord, come on. You know, I felt like Abraham trying to, you know, which 50, how about 40, you know, 30? You know, God won. You know what I mean? Yep. And, you know, I blessed this guy. And he left the church anyway. Praise the Lord. Still angry at me, but something inside of me was dealt with. I love that guy. I wept for him. I prayed for him. Someday in Facebook, we'll find him if I can remember who it was. Just a healthy mind forgets, you know what I mean? But I'm talking about when God deals with you, you know what I mean? Like, you know, that angelic encounter, you know, where he touched you on the thigh and you're limping for the rest of your life. All right. Then there was Joseph. This is the problem with brothers. All right. They threw him in the pit, and years go by, and things turn around, and he's facing his brothers again, and now he's like number two in Egypt, and he has all the cards in his hands. And what does he say? He said, but as for you, and they're trembling, Genesis 15, 20, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, my point here is that God not only did a work in Joseph, but he literally did a work in hundreds, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people because of his obedience in the pruning process. This thing's bigger than you. Next time you're being nailed to the wall and squirming and carrying on, my brother in the Lord, my sister in the Lord. Oh, Lord, you just don't understand. Joseph comes forward and says, tell me about it, son. And the answer is always the same. Don't point the finger, because three are pointing back at you. Don't look at the snippers, and don't snip at the snipper. Look to the one who's holding the pruning shears in his hand, the father, the husbandman. All right. Well, what if you're dealing with a demonic authority figure? Now, there's a situation where there's definitely an out. I could be like Moses when he opened up the ground and Dathan and, Korah and all those guys went right into the big abyss. Oh, that's power. Well, David, the man after God's own heart, he's being opposed by this mad king who's throwing spears at him. It says that he became so jealous that an evil spirit overtook him. He's a demonic boss. How many of you have demonic bosses that you work for? All right, no, don't raise your hand, okay? Then you're saying, oh, God, get me out of here. Well, David wanted the same thing. The guy was throwing spears at him, so he got out of there. But he keep coming back, and he keep throwing spears. And so finally, he leaves town, and the mad king chases after him. And several times, he's got the mad king in his crosshairs, and he lets him go. And he keeps saying, his men around him are saying, hey, you could have ended all your problems by taking out the authority figure. I mean, you could be king. What's wrong with you? He says, be it far from me that I should touch God's anointed. God is sovereign. He put this guy here. He can take him out. But until he does, I'm not going to lift a finger against this guy, nor say anything against him, nor tell anybody at the water cooler what I feel about him. You know, how many of you realize Judas had a demonic problem as well? But do you know Jesus never led on to the others who was the one who was going to betray him? They all ask him. They said, one of you is going to betray me. And they all look at each other and say, is it me? Nobody really knew except Judas, of course. In fact, Jesus gave the sop, which is the best part of the filet mignon, to Judas. I mean, he just completely, covered over the fact that this guy's going to betray him and send him to the cross. But he understood the bigger picture, didn't he? We'll get to Jesus in a minute. Okay, so we've dealt with God, brothers, authority figures. Let's just deal with one more. Tax without. All right, here's the apostles in the book of Acts, and they're brought before the religious leaders. And in chapter 5 and verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Come on. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Next time you get some of those hate emails, rejoice. Don't look at the snipper. Look at the one who's holding the snippers and rejoice. Don't send me any hate emails, please. Just giving an example. All right. Jesus, the ultimate snip. In Isaiah 53:10, it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It pleased the Lord to prune him. It pleased the Lord to prune his son. Let's look a little deeper at this. In John 12 and 24, this is one of those really deep sayings, and I'm not going to come to the full measure of it, but I just want to make a comment here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Jesus is saying this, is that if he lives, if he saves his life, why he came to die will be short-circuited. But if he gives his life as he was meant to do, if he surrenders to the pruning process, it said, this seed is going to go into the ground and multiply. And the effects of his obedience will be multiplied hundreds and thousands and billions of times over. Unless the seed goes in and dies. You see, Jesus didn't go in the death process for purification. He's already sinless. He went in for multiplication. He allowed the pruning process. Remember, he was in the garden. It wasn't easy. The sins of the world were upon him. He said, Lord, if you can take this cup, that'd be fine. I'm just paraphrasing. You know, we've been in the pruning process. And we said, Lord, this is more than I can bear. He says, no, it's not. But it feels like it. If you can find another way out, you got somebody on your side here. But if not, that will be done. And so we see that Jesus was not thinking just about himself, was he? He was thinking about the effects. And so for the joy set before him, which is sitting here right now, he endured the cross, despising the shame, so that he could be the captain of our salvation. Pruning process is not pleasant. It's not fun. I don't like it. I react to it just as much as you do. I've got just as much flesh as you do, sometimes more, sometimes a little less. But we're all in the process of being made holy, made like him. And so in that process, we go through certain changes. And I want to make some applications here. So let's go to James chapter 1. You know, I just want to put a plug in here, men. We're going through the book of James once a month. I want to encourage you to come out. The book is a life changer. You get this into your spirit, it can transform your life. And so we're taking an opportunity once a month to go a few verses at a time and just allow this book to speak to our hearts. Some of the things that we covered in James 1 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy. It was at verse 2. When you fall into diverse temptations. Okay, the first thing is dealing with your attitude. All right? Your attitude, okay? Count it joy. Why? Because there's an expectation that can come. Knowing this, that the trying of our faith works patience. No, I'm not excited about the fact that I'm going to become more patient. But it's good to know that's going to happen. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Here's the kicker. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. When you're going through the pruning process, you get pretty much self-absorbed, and you're saying, poor me, and you're just on the verge of a pity party. And you could really go over the edge if you just listen to yourself enough. The thing is to stop the anger, the blame game, the whole thing, and just say, God, what's going on? And I'll show you. And I'll give you the right response. I love what Jerry shared. about a month or so ago, when he shared from the Sermon on the Mount, how basically the principle is, whatever you do in the natural, do the opposite, and you'll be pretty much fulfilling the will of God. If somebody strikes you on the cheek, what do? Give them the other one. I don't think so. Uh-huh. If they take your coat, give them another one. Go the extra mile. I mean, do the opposite. That's what the Lord's after here. Our attitude, count it all joy when you encounter various temptations. Why? Because I'm standing on wisdom territory. I'm going to get a piece of the wisdom of God. I believe He's sovereign. He's going to work in me, but He's also going to give me wisdom that's going to justify my children, and make me look better in Facebook. All right. That's a new adventure for us. Okay, let's take a look at something else here. All right. Romans 5:1. This is interesting. Application here. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. There is a peace that passes understanding, and it's a grace that we have access to when you are stressed out. All right? And rejoice in hope in the glory of God. All right. When you find that you're bent out of shape and you're stressed out, you recognize there's something wrong here. This is not the righteousness, joy, and peace of the Holy Ghost. This isn't the kingdom of God working here. I'm stressed out. What do I do? Okay, I have something where I can get a hold of my faith. And it's this. It's this hope. There's a hope that I can grab onto. Now, how do I get it? I rejoice in this hope. Lord, that you're going to get me through this. Okay. Okay, so I rejoice in hope. Now watch this. This is a big old circle. First, there's hope. And then, not only so, but there's tribulation. Whoop, there's tribulation here. And it says we glory in tribulation. And another word for glory is rejoice. So it's all consistent. So we have hope here. We have tribulation. Knowing tribulation works patience. There's that patience thing again. And then patience works experience, and experience works hope. Here we go again. Snip. Hope. What? Tribulation. Patience. Experience. Whoops, I missed something. Help me here. Patience. Oh, yeah. Experience. Experience, hope. Okay. So, and look at this. Hope makes not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. There's something that we have access by faith. And when we are being pruned, many times it's sent towards the shearer, who's hold, you know, the clippers. And we're bent out of shape by the person who's doing it. And what we need is the love of God to wash over our hearts. And the Bible says if we rejoice over that person who's doing the snipping and we rejoice in the situation that we find ourselves, that the love of God will be shed upon us and a supernatural love will come for us, for the person who's snipping at us. How many of you could use that from time to time? It might be for your kids, the ultimate sanctifiers. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you. All right. All right, let's go on to another one. That one was pretty well quiet. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Several keys here. We'll just deal with a few of them. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. How? See that none render evil to evil unto any man. Thank you, Andrew, for your word there. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Oh, did I say ceasing? Pray without ceasing up. I like that. Pray without ceasing. Pray without having a seizure. I'm sorry, I'm having a good time here. Why? How do you do this? In everything. In everything. Okay, this will get you. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of the one who's holding the snippers in Christ Jesus concerning you. You catching this? All right. I know it's just stirring up your pure minds to remembrance. Ephesians 5:14, we'll close with this. And you know that's a lie. Lord, deliver me from lying. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth. Okay, you gals who are asleep all night. Or up at the ladies, girls' party there. They had a sleepover. They didn't sleep. Where are they? Oh, okay. A few of them? Okay. Well, okay. Good for you. Okay. Awake thou that sleepest from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding the will or what the will of the Lord is. Here we go. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Another point I want to make up is be filled with the Holy Ghost so that you can submit to one another. Because you're not going to do it in the flesh. I'm going to speak the truth. But make sure it's in love. Faith works by love. And you know, love, as our brother Andrew read, it has a long fuse. It just sort of suffers long. And it endures all things. And it never fails. Be good to put that to memory next time you're having a hissy fit. Just ask yourself, where's the love? I don't feel the love in this place, okay? All right. You know, brother, I love you, but submitting one to another in the fear of God. You know, I have no authority. In fact, the Holy Spirit has no authority. Come on, in your life. Unless you give it to Him. You know that? You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can vex Him. And you can quench Him. You can grieve that fiery flame such that it's... What do you do at a funeral service? You grieve. He's so grieved by what he sees you doing. Man, you just keep walking into that wall. Just keep walking. He's grieved. All right? And then after a while, he gets angry. He's like, he's vexed. And then finally, he's quenched. Don't want to do that, do you? Don't want to do that. Keep yourself in the love of God. What are some of the safeguards? Well, I've shared with you, there's a process here in the pruning process. That first, the Spirit of God speaks to you. Or it might be His Word. It's either the Word or the Spirit, those two things. Those are the things that should be your anchor when you're being pruned. It should go no further. Hello? It should go no further than the Word or the Spirit. But sometimes we're careless. And what happens then, it goes to the next level, which might be a brother in the Lord or a sister in the Lord. They'll come to you and they'll say, please stop what you're doing. You know, I just care for you. I'm concerned about you. You know, and we can be upset with them. You know, we can say, well, you know, I'm more spiritual than you are. Who do you think you are? The Bible says, submit yourselves one to another. God can speak through one another. That's why God's purposes ultimately are not going to be fulfilled in your life unless you stay plugged into the local church. Come on. Come on. This is more than just a bless me club. This is where iron sharpens iron. This is where we become the body of Christ. And we are assembled because each has a purpose. We find our place. We get set in there. And we function so that that whole thing works. We understand it's not just about us, but it's about the community. It's about the nations of the earth. This body of people has the effect literally on thousands, maybe multiple thousands of people. And who knows whether an Apostle Paul or a Peter or Billy Graham is going to ascend out of the ranks of this place. You just don't know, do you, what one person can do that's submitted to God. But you know what? You say you're submitted to God. That's measured by your submission to one another. I remember years ago I got a prophecy. And the prophet said, let your desire to be led be put under your desire to be led. As the desire to lead be placed under your desire to be led. You get that? In other words, don't seek to be the big banana. You know what I mean? It's lonely at the top anyway. No, it's not. Actually, it's wonderful. There's Jesus, you know, His Holy Spirit, the Mount of Transfiguration, and extra pruning. That's right. You want to be pastor? Okay. All right. You want to be an elder? All right. You want to be a deacon? Okay. Come on up. You want to get behind this pulpit? Amazing what will happen. You get up here and all of a sudden you start crying. What's happening to me? Oh, God's starting the process. And then it just goes from there. All right. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. All right. So I got to, you know, the process of dealing with people. Then the fourth level is your beloved pastor gets together with you and, you know, just plans to have a cup of coffee with you, and all of a sudden something slips out inadvertently, and oh, it's like a knife. I'll cut you to the quick. Oh. So you're not happy with him. We move to the next level, which is the prophet. He just shows up at the most inopportune times. He just comes out of nowhere and says, thou art the man. Oh, no. So you don't like that either. And what's left is chastening. The Lord has a hand to bless and a backhand to correct. Okay? Anybody ever experienced the backhand? All right. And then the last, which I have not had the pleasure of experiencing, is judgment. I know a lot of saints right now who have been taken up before their time. Well, they're in heaven, I believe, but I remember this one guy. He was a genius. He had these creative ideas. He was an artistic type of fellow, and he came up with this play called The Soldier Song. And we gathered several churches together and did this for several years, and a lot of people got saved. A lot of people were impacted by it. Music was beautiful. I mean, put the whole thing together. A few years later, he's dead, cut off, and he had such an inheritance. But he just short-circuited the pruning principle, moved away from the body of Christ, got in with the wrong crowd, and he's dead now. It's interesting to see some videos and to look through some books of the church membership, not of this church, but other churches that I've been involved with, and to see how many people are not alive. They're not walking with God. Some, they had health reasons or whatever, but others... I remember a trucker talking to me, and he just gone through a divorce and whatever. This was not at this church, another church. And He said, I can point to the spot on the road where the Lord spoke to me and said, don't do it. And I kept going. And his life, I don't know where he's at now, but at that time it was a shambles. I'll tell you, there's a cost in the pruning process, isn't there? There's a great cost. It's a cost to your life. And we don't need a better life. We need a better death. But consider the alternative of being cut off from the grace of God and left to yourself. You know, God gives up those to their own desire if they persist in bucking against the work of the husbandman. And I'll close with this. I have a butterfly bush in one of my gardens. And right now, it's about this high and about this wide, and it's all dead wood. And before the spring comes, I'm going to have to cut that thing right back to the stump. Because if I don't, when the new wood comes, the old wood's going to get in the way. But you know what? That butterfly bush is not going to give me a little bit of trouble at all. Because that wood is dead. All I have to cut it. And it'll probably be relieved if it could speak. And plants can speak. Do you know they like Mozart? Anyhow, oh, it's true. I mean, music will affect plants positively or negatively. You put on punk rock, watch what happens it does to your plants. Watch what happens it does to your ears. Anyhow, I'm going to cut that thing back. And if it could speak, it would say, oh, thank you. Now I can branch out even more free. And that has to be our response whenever we recognize we're in the pruning process. And if you don't know if you're in the pruning process, just ask your wife or your husband or your brother or sister in the Lord. They'll let you know. Because sometimes we're the last ones to know. That's why we need to submit to one another and say, oh, okay, I trust my brother, I trust my sister. And the reason is sooner or later, it's going to be the other way around. And I'm going to speak into their life and say, hey, calm down. Let's pray together. Let's ask the Lord to change our heart and our attitude. Amen? All right. Hey, right at noon. And that was the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You guys are still awake? That's wonderful. Okay, let's just bow our hearts and allow the Lord to speak to us. Father, I thank you for your correction. I thank you for your people from whom many times that correction comes. I thank you, Father, that it is something you do for us and not to us. Father, cleanse us of negative images and strongholds that we have towards correction and authority and towards our brothers and sisters that would deny your sovereignty, that would deny your wisdom, that would deny your goodness. Because, Father, we recognize anything and everything you send to us has ultimately come from your hand for our good, that we would bear much fruit. And my desire for this congregation is that each and every one of us bear much fruit, not only for their personal holiness, but for the impact, even to the nations of the earth, that their lives will represent. So, Father, give us a sense of eternal purpose and destiny as we submit to your loving hand upon our lives. I thank you for the true vine, and I thank you for the husbandman, and I thank you for our inheritance, that not only shall we bear much fruit, but our fruit shall remain even unto eternity. In Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. God bless.